We must strive to accomplish complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings, and it's for that reason we must cultivate the altruistic motivation, or what we call bodhicitta motivation. With that kind of motivation, we should all participate in this teaching. I believe that all of us are seeking ways or means by which we can accomplish complete enlightened state we call Buddhahood for the benefit of both self and others.
Ani sanje ji gompa thob thob thobla ta khare go gyo sena ani a chongi me sa deba ni jang a chongi cho sa de ja ta chongi sa ni e deba ni jang ta tu se go gyo les.
So how can we achieve a complete enlightened state? If you ask what is involved in the ways and means by which we can actualize complete enlightenment, as I often explain and emphasize, that we need to practice accumulation of merit and insight or wisdom. So we need, in other words, to fulfill what is known as the two types of accumulation of merit or positive energy and accumulation of insight or wisdom. And we also need to do purification practice, which basically involves purifying ourselves of the two types of mental obscuration to personal nirvana or freedom, liberation, and obscuration to omniscient wisdom.
So when you start to visit the Shabala, and then Chapra change it, then it's a mind pay, Shiva Juni pay, then Chapra change it, you talk about some tongue.
Now, to be able to engage in those two practices, such as accumulation of merit and wisdom and purification of the two types of mental obscuration, it is not only very important, but essential for us to have precious human life and rebirth, not only here and now, but also in our successive rebirths. So that's why we often talk about the need to create causes and conditions to be able to find fortunate rebirth in this particular context, meaning precious human life or rebirth, you know, in our successive lifetimes, so that we would be able to pursue practices of accumulation and purification. So where do we find, you know, such what we call special life basis, literally translating, to be able to pursue spirituality and spiritual development? As we often talk about six types of sentient beings or migrators in samsara, single existence, human beings are part of that whole universe, which consists of six types of sentient beings. So it's only in the human world, if you will, we find the special life basis for spirituality. So even in the case of human world, any kind of human life, if you ask, would that be a special life basis we're talking about? But just being a human being does not mean we have acquired or obtained what we call precious human life. Definitionally, precious human life is a human life that is endowed with what we call 8 freedoms or leisures and 10 enriching factors. These 18 wonderful qualities of a special, how should I say, human life, if you will, constitute the life basis, the special life basis to pursue and develop spirituality. So if you ask how can we find precious human life or rebirth, as great Indian master Arya Nagarjuna states in his precious garland or Ratna Avali, and Kishila quoted the lines from his memory. The line states, it is from negativity or negative karmic actions that we find all kinds of suffering and unfortunate rebirth. In contrast, it is from positive actions that we find happiness, peace, and fortunate rebirth.
So that tambo ngaran so ani dindu konfa thoba sheba ta migeli dungne kun tele gele dindu thagi san kanu ni tani jeza tangaran so ngi so she go ti kagu he ngi so she mishi a ti ta shen de pa shi a de go pa kagu he.
So as we pay close attention to what Arya Nagarjuna has said, which I quoted just now to you, first thing what we need to do is we have to find ways to close the door to unfortunate states of rebirth. So basically what we need to do is stop creating negativities or negative karmic actions.
So that
So
ngagone ye ane yich gon sumshin mege kyubu den do sinta so so ente lela ma yuba chen ba ka gu yares.
In other words, that if we create negative karmic actions, they lead to unfortunate rebirths. They don't lead to fortunate rebirths. And so which means we need to stop creating and accumulating negative karmic actions. Of course, negativity consists of innumerable actions, but as we often talk about, at a very basic, you know, foundational level, if you will, we need to stop creating the three negativities of the body, or three negative physical karmic actions, and four negative karmic actions of the speech, and three negative karmic actions of the mind. So basically, we need to stop creating those negativities physically, verbally, and mentally. And I think most of you know what the 10 negative karmic actions of body, speech, and mind. But it's really important for us to understand them so that we can, so that such understanding will guide our actions of everyday life. Now we talk about three negative actions of the body, and the first one is the negative action of killing. So the negative action of killing, it could be done by oneself, that means oneself kills someone, or it could also be instigating or hiring someone to kill someone. So in either case, it is the negativity of killing, and relatively speaking, you know, asking someone to kill for you would be more worse negative action of killing than doing it the same action oneself. So when we talk about making others do, killing for us, I mean, we should understand it's like, you know, we entrust this job to someone. You know, we ourselves couldn't do it, and we say, okay, so can you do this for me? And then when the other person kills, so then it is, worse in the sense that not only the other person has created the negativity, but we ourselves are completely involved in it. But if someone, without our asking him or her to do the job, if someone kills someone for us from their side, but then that is not what we call instigating or hiring someone to kill for us. So one might wonder and raise the question that if I tell, you know, ask someone to kill someone for me, I'm really not doing the actual action, you know, but that person is. So how could it be the same? How could it be that I also accumulate the negativity of killing? in addition to the other person's act of killing. In the treasury of knowledge, Abhidhamma Kosha, by the great Indian master Acharya Vasubandhu, it states that Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, and which gives us an example that, let's say, one does not go into the actual battlefield, one sends the soldiers to do the job. But as one commands soldiers to go into the battlefield and kill enemies, and when they do that, the one who has given the order, who has not physically been in the battlefield and not really going through all the risk and everything, that person also accumulates, you see, the negative ways of killing to the extent that the soldiers in the battlefield kill number of enemies. So for details, you need to look up in the concerned section in Lamrim treatises. Lamrim is a Tibetan term which means stages of path. It is considered now a genre in Tibetan Buddhism. It's a practice guide. So if you look up in the practices of intermediate level practitioners, where we focus a lot on law of karma and its results or outcomes, so it, in that particular section we find more details about good and bad karmic actions and their outcomes. Now, in the case of 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind, if one has not taken monastic ordination, in which case, if one indulges in sexual activity that does not involve necessarily the negative action of negative action of breaking celibacy, if you will, because one is a lay person, has not taken that particular vow, whereas it would be a different case in the case of monastics who have committed themselves to abide by celibacy. So any kind of sexual activity is breaking their vows and consists of negativity. So for lay practitioners or lay people in general, I should say, Buddha has not prohibited sexual intimacy. So when those who are not monastics involved in sexual intimacy with their what we call legitimate partners, then it does not involve negative karmic action. That being said, even as lay people, if one were to have affairs with others' partners, then that would involve what we call sexual misconduct.
So that any tay so say any domba many tanimatic domba land in the yinya tiny cut the domba the sungures.
So sexual misconduct is negativity. But then also there are few exceptional situations, even for the lay practitioners. Generally speaking, you have not taken monastic ordination, so therefore you are allowed, even in a sense, to you know, participate in sexual intimacy with your legitimate partners. But on a particular day, if you have taken one day vows which involve, you know, prohibition of sex, but on that particular day, if one were to indulge in any kind of sexual activity, now that would involve negativity of body.
That loyim, tangi in the soju, me yin le pa, susu ngan le sin va. Je zang ina that loyim de le me yin le ngai hamaris. So lelam de zoba shu susu shegu varis.
So sexual misconduct, which is a generic term we use, that includes a number of things, and in a particular case, it would be adultery. It is a negative karmic action, but it is something that one personally has to get involved in the act. It's not like a killing. You know, killing, one may not do it, but one may ask someone to kill, as I said. But in the case of adultery, one cannot assign or ask someone to do it for you. So it's something you personally get involved in.
That thing so curious, that machine can take in a machine in the huge arm, that the machine is young, run the shade you are making on a dundu years.
So then there is the negativity of stealing, which is literally defined as taking what is not given to you. And now this is like similar to killing in that not only can one steal things from others, but one can also ask others to steal things for oneself.
So that the same in the Karina, McGivy, Lake and Deji, Sagadua, then they have a sending about the Tuzupakan Mato, McGivy Lake, Jebus Karin, Jungu Arsena, Nyason Shavers, Nyason Shiv Dungin, Chudu Pajan, Dungig Dung, Tamabanda Nyoni, Degway Changu, Sonsati, McGivy Lane Zengurist.
So really my point here is that we need to study, educate ourselves about negative karmic actions, and so that we are able to stop creating negativities. Because if we create negativities, then these negativities lead to more suffering and misery, which obviously we don't want.
So that the loss of that Give a less of in that the any dental shiva shiver is just an arant of dental shiva gym machine by Kinney Gil Juni, a dental compound token was true double. Things and that Ranzo any McGill Pacani gave a letter, some by Chesis and Shaguaris.
So not only that we stop creating negative karmic actions, but we also need to do the positive actions, which are the opposites of negative actions. Why? Because we are seeking positive outcomes or results, such as finding a fortunate rebirth as a human being. So for that, we definitely need to create positive karmic actions.
So sa jigirmo je ka nang yores lam cho dupa la ane ti dubje ge ten de chaba ge thogu gres lam cho dul chini sami te mangi pardos ane sashi yong ma res ka nang do
manju shere lam tsonga pa o jigirmo che o kyawa lo san ta pa has said as Kishila quoted the lines from his memory that until and unless one finds what he calls a fully characterized special life basis, meaning precious human life, to be simple, one would not be able to make that much of an advancement in spiritual developments towards enlightenment. So therefore, it is pertinent for one to create causes and conditions for precious human rebirth or life, in successive lifetimes.
That then dig a giddig palan shabala, papanguia, so long with the shabala, that the shibu your bus.
So the bottom line is this, that in order for us to apply ourselves into practices of abandonment and cultivation, meaning what are the things we should not do and we should abandon, and what are the things we should adopt and we should cultivate and enhance. Now, the first thing, we need to educate ourselves in these matters, because without education, we really don't know, you know, what we should not do and what we should abandon and what we should do and what we should cultivate. So of course education takes time, and there's the, you know, but in the meantime, what we really need to do is, because we don't know much, but we have to keep on reminding ourselves that I should not do anything that, you know, hurts, you know, others. Because hurting others, any kind of action we do through the use of our body, spirit, and mind that hurts others is negativity.
No, no. That rang luta ngata yiche. Tu sumbo te pekyo tang ne. Ane yen la penpa drobaj. Ta pen tuk do nas da. Ta ne mene baj da. Pen tuk do na. Ane te gewi le chagyo res.
And but extension of that sort of idea, the other side of that idea is that if we use our body, spirit, and mind in any way that really promotes the well-being of others, that benefits others, such actions are to be understood as positive karmic actions.
So
except for you know, very young children, we as adults have I think certain common sense in us that we generally know what are the things we should not do which really hurt and you know, hurt others or damage, you know, others' lives and properties and so on, and what are the things that we could do to benefit others. As much as we emphasize the need to and the essentiality of finding what we call special life basis for spiritual development, which basically is finding precious human life, but we must also keep in mind that once we have it, it is equally important, if not more, for us to use it properly for spiritual you know, growth. So we need to see that as we do our practice, we are engaging in what we call literally pure practice of Dharma or spirituality. Now, of course, you know, theoretically speaking, a particular spirituality may be pure, you know, in itself, but it is possible that the way we put that into practice may not be pure. You know, the way we practice that pure spirituality could become impure or impure, you know, practice. So it's really important for us to learn about how to do our practice purely.
Sounds like that.
So now you can ask me, how can we engage in what is called pure practice of Dharma or spirituality. What are the things we could do or we should do so that our practice is proper and pure? Well, number one, it is a must for us to cultivate a pure motivation, because motivation plays a very significant role in our spirituality and spiritual development. So pure motivation in the sense that we should be more concerned with the well-being of future lives rather than the interest of this lifetime. So if we are so much attached to the marvels of this lifetime and engage in spiritual practice, our motivation may not necessarily be pure. Whereas if we are concerned with, we are really detaching ourselves from the marvels of this lifetime, detaching, just minded, meaning undiluted, in that sense, not getting isolated, footnote, my first footnote after a long time, and then thinking about the well-being or the betterment of future lifetimes, that kind of pure motivation is really, it's very important to do for our pure practice of Dharma.
Oh. So, that, all right, that thing, you know, in Lando, you know, you are rest. Che, jeba doji, ane, najoba, chiki, ane, jeba doji, dreamne, that thing, dreamdele, deshima, ta, ane, junyu, dream, top rest. Ko, the che, duju, che, naba, tava, tibachimi, che, nani, sanga, che, se, ki, luji, sanji, yaka, homba, toya, ta, che, rest. Yena, ya, ane, Kurang ke, gunung ke, wang ke, gunung ke, wang ke, ini, ah, tiba cuma cuci semasa ni, tiba ni, dah tiba ni beri cuci, dah ribu tahun dah junjung ribu sen ni, dah, hujan je se, tiba ni kita jual, tiba ni nanti dah, tambah tu cover es.
Let me give you an example from Lamrim to illustrate the point how even if the practice that one does belongs to not only Mahayana practice, but actually to the Vajrayana or esoteric tantric practice, which is the highest level of Buddhist practice. But due to one's, one's impure motivation, or the rather, I should say, one's inadequate level of motivation, that kind of profound practice may only lead to a very, relatively speaking, a small spiritual outcome. Now, there is this story recorded in the Lamrim treatises that once there was a practitioner of He Vajra meditational deity. Now, the He Vajra Tantra belongs to highest yoga Buddhist Tantra, which is called Mahanuttara Yoga Tantra. It's the highest level practice. So, which means He Vajra practice not only belongs to Mahayana Buddhism, but it belongs to the Vajrayana Buddhism within that. It's the highest level practice. So one would assume that, so that practice is extremely profound, and it would, help one to find a complete enlightened state even in one lifetime. It's that kind of profound, a practice. However, that practitioner, due to his, inadequate, it was not so much the impure motivation, but it was inadequate level of motivation, he only was able to accomplish, relatively speaking, a small spiritual realization outcome, which is literally translated as Kyushu, which means the stream enterer. Because in the Shravakayana Buddhism, they talk about different levels of realization. Sometimes they talk about eight different levels of Junshu, meaning stream enterers, is a literal translation. I know it needs a lot of explanation, but I'm just a translator here. Junshu Dede is abiding by the outcome of a stream enterer, is one of the eight enterers. And so he just only accomplished that. So now what happened in this case is that even though the practice he was following was the highest level Buddhist practice, which could find him complete enlightened state in one lifetime, but instead of that outcome, it only led to a very small outcome that he could have achieved through Sarvagayana practice. See, so that's what it does when the level of motivation is inadequate.
Jyōjī pēlī yūpī kāpsi, nī kōng jāgāñi sō yōngi tīndi lā, tīngsā jāgāla āntā kīñjā kārētū wās tā kāndī tīk nāngu yār tā. Tā tīngsā āni jāgāla tā kēdō yī nāngyō bā tīk jīn yūshī dīp tāp rī sēn tā tīndi sēni, tā tīndi chān tā hālī nī mēdō. Tā jyōjī ā kā kā sōng wā, tā ngī āni kōrā dhūmbā bā tā dhūngi tīndi lā, ngī
Maybe I should have given you a little background to this story of Hei Vajra practitioner. It was in the 11th century when great Indian master Atisha, whose complete name is called Dipankar Shirijan Atisha, he was invited to Tibet. And often when he had visitors from India, then Atisha would ask them, okay, what news you have brought from India? Because he wanted, the news, from his, home country. And so in one of those days, so a visitor from India said, well, these days in India, one of the things people are talking about is how a Hei Vajra practitioner, he landed himself in a small level outcome called abiding by an outcome of stream enterer, even though his practice was Hei Vajra practice. And Atisha was, he kind of expressed his disappointment, and he said, well, that's primarily because he lacked altruistic bodhicitta motivation. That's what happened.
Quran, that project is on age, and you just same day.
So Atisha said, the reason why he ended up in that kind of a predicament situation, if you could call that, it's just because he did not develop bodhicitta motivation.
Okay. My Chanchi Sen Songwe at the home by Chanchi Sen and Tule Tumbi, that was my Yosungwe Maritan, that and what?
I think that was Gisela was trying to say the same thing again. Because the way Atisha expressed it, it seems like, well, because he did not have the kind of bodhicitta that I have been focusing on. Of course, Atisha never claimed that he had a bodhicitta. But the way he implied is, we can understand the implication is that Atisha really developed bodhicitta, which the other Hei Vajra practitioner was very much lacking, and therefore he ended up in that particular predicament.
Oh, no, that's the question. That thing, and then that's that, Kanga, someone or that, Kanga, Kanga, the Shona, the humans.
So I have talked about these things with the motivation that these things may be useful and beneficial to all of us. And so because of time factor, and as I said, so we really need to pay attention to the negative karmic actions and study about them. Of course, I didn't have time to go through all the 10 negativities of body, speech, and mind, but I did mention 3 negativities of the body, and the details are in Lamrim treatises.
Well, that cousin something missing in Yafin take land my sumber, but
no, land go to again.
La
land go to again.
Deva,
no,
three. Tayan Dushin missing in Yafin, the Tachanas of Gindy Batson de Guni, Tele Tani, Sanji Compa, Dunkinki, Sonsang, Ata, and Yami Joji, any talk stage to any. Don't they join in the Uyaris? Just say Kundin that chain number top of the Huin Sanji Akata, Sanji Kumato, chain number Tavaji, Naro Nas Huin's Jelda.
Just to recapitulate a little bit what we were discussing last Sunday, those two cousins from Pimpo area visited Great Dongtenpa at Ratting Monastery. which is the seed monastery of the Domtenpa and Kadampa tradition. So they asked Domtenpa for particular teachings. They said, well, we witnessed that this large gathering of monks here, and they're here because they renounced worldly life and they're pursuing complete enlightenment. And we have come to pursue the same goal. And could you kindly give us the complete, the teachings on how to do that, that you have received from the great master in Atisha. Please do not conceal or hide anything from us. You know, be frank and open and give us the instruction.
Ani le junde heb tel gombe heb chene le junde mand gombe skan.
So in response to their request, Domtenpa said, first you must meditate repeatedly many times on death and impermanence and law of karma and its outcomes.
That kasan eti ni de chraje khibin bas e mataba gondi chane tela ani chawe junsin sum ta ani tela ani o kasa ta ni ti ani de khela bte shin ta kang dom ni ani junse gu photo ni gom gu ya tan jul lam ne gun ne ta te shin ba.
I remember that last week I told you that one of the powerful ways to meditate on death and impermanence of life is consists of focusing on what is called the three basic principles or the fundamental principles, each of them supported by three valid reasons. So there are nine reasons and three basic principles, and so that particular structure of meditation on the death and impermanence of life is very powerful, and I suggested or advise you that you should, refer to or consult your Lamrim treatises on this matter. Just to sort of start off, I'm going to introduce the three basic principles or the fundamental principles in this meditation on the death and impermanence of life, but then I will ask you to go and read Lamrim for the nine reasons supporting the three principles. One of the three basic fundamental principles that we should focus on is the certainty of death. In other words, death is certain, and there's nothing mystery about that. And if anybody is born, then he or she will eventually have to face death. It doesn't matter in between who we are. We could be rich, poor, educated, uneducated, powerful, weak, and whatever. But once we are born, the final thing that we encounter is death. So therefore, there should not be any doubts about the certainty of death. That is a sure thing to happen.
Ola ta tende gomdi tsani ya ta nyima kide shig rawasan ta gom gog men nyima kide shig rawasam ni ta sanu ji khogur ba khogur ndu was.
So as we meditate on this particular basic principle, okay, death is certain, so we keep on meditating on it, and then it might convince us that, okay, I got it, one day I'm going to die, for sure.
That in this, and that thing talk about the past year, the chair, the 다 님바지 공그레스 저외 사기 님바지 공그레스 가르에서는 남지 내매 삼바스 님마킹 자 많이 비다 가디 시그에메 타게에면도스 다테 님바지 공그레스
So once we realize that, okay, one day I'm going to die for sure, and I get it now, you know, and I have not, you know, how should I say, any doubt about this matter, so death is certain, and so one day that will happen. Well, now what we really need to consider relating to that is, we don't know when is that one day is going to come. So the time of death is uncertain. So uncertainty of the time of death. Yes, we are going to die one day, but when is that one day? We really don't know. So it's very important for us to consider the second basic principle in this meditation called uncertainty of the time of death.
So that the gombi zane, that jinsi mangbo sa, nizu gombi zane, tere, che gom se guya, che gom matong yo gomare, che gom se guya zane ta, Ani, singi kahi ane pe nga ame ngal pe tsu maache lung me abja nga ame ngal ane shendog dhwas kahi maache ane langsa ane ki lo dan dawa me lung me abja langsa shendog dhine nga taga na yi taga no na teni shi ane ya ta yu teni shi ane ta gyemba shi teni shi ta gye shi ta mrembe rembe shi ta dungi suka mendo wasi chindi king dhwas ngeba mendo wasi ta namchi ngeba me abja nga namchi ngeme sangu da
As we consider these basic principles relating to death and impermanence of life, we have to, take into account many reasons why these are the realities or the truths. See, in other words, the kind of meditation that I'm talking about right now consists of analytical meditation. It's not like simply, focusing our mind single-pointedly on these topics, which is called what we call single-pointed meditation or placement meditation. Because the meditation that we are doing, it involves a lot of thinking and reasoning. So it involves analysis. It's an analytical meditation. Now, briefly consider this one. The second basic point is uncertainty of the time of death. So which means we are going to die for sure, but we don't know when. So in order to really feel that uncertainty of the death, we have to look at many different situation reasons. We say, okay, there are many cases where, the babies, unborn babies die in the womb of the mother, okay, because they didn't know, when that's going to happen. So even before their birth, they are dead in the womb of the mother. Well, some die at delivery. Some die after a few days or few hours. Others live a little bit longer, and now they are, in their teens age, and they die as teenagers. Others die as young adults. Others die as adults. Others die as middle age, and then, young old and middle old. And so the death happens at all different stages. So there is no guarantee to say that if I'm in the womb, I'm going to come out really nicely and then I'm going to live this long. Well, there is no map, for that. So this will help us, considering such situations, help us to understand that the time of death is uncertain.
No, man, this question. See, I'm a co-born to say we are married.
No.
I'm going to get home to us, right? To say mi genda amenga ni shindung itinita
no
ane shema tab shindung itinita tene mabulwa
so this is what we see or hear about, right? That's what I'm talking about. How we did, of course we can't talk about this with ourselves because we didn't die in the womb, but we are talking about the baby, unborn babies, dead in the womb and coming out dead, and so these situations should really help us to experience what is meant by the uncertainty of time of death.
Ana ta nan chi nge nge me yi bat ta nan ro ge so re ne go bo lu du ke ta na umar ji chong na song do lo mar nang du ma me yi so lo mang ge chi ma me ji ya me ko ka si de me se ta la sa te jo kon ro chi re ndo was te ti na ge so ne
You know, many great examples are provided in the Buddhist literatures to explain about how the time of death is uncertain, and we really don't know when it's going to happen to us. And great Nagarjuna gives this example of how our life is, metaphorically speaking, like a burning candle exposed to the wind. So if we think of this, you know, candlelight, you know, in the wind, please, now the wind can blow out the flame any time. Who can predict that? It's very uncertain.
So that the gom ni nyowa thun gur ma ta ga sa no tong te ya ta ga sa ndi ya mar pe nyowa thun ni dan da ran hi mo yo sang sang da ten de ke a lo ji ran ji si ya ta nge fa de nan ki ngi me sam sam ba nyowa thun ja de ki ngo ya res.
So as we talk about in how long should we continue meditating on these things, of course, until we truly feel it, you know, in our heart and mind. We may know it intellectually, okay, we are going to die one day, well, we don't know when it's going to happen, but that's not enough. See, intellectual exercise and understanding or the considering these matters is not enough. We have to meditate on these principles to the extent that it really, how should I say, we feel these principles in our bones, and now we really feel it to the extent that I can't be sure that, you know, whether I'm going to last today. See, the death could strike me anytime, even today. So that's the kind of experience when we get impact of that on our through our meditation. That's what we call is really effective meditation on the impermanence.
Kendi kita ni nyawa terus na, ane cawe sakit sumpah deh. Tapi orang cuci tak cuci. Kadui cuma tak pun rasa tak moni tuhni itu. Tanda orang degi le tak hea kita, si mayu masang sa tak kendi kalau na tunggu hebu je le, lembung kor. Tapi ini jangan tak cuci jangan cara ke pengin dosan tak tersang tunggu.
So as we meditate repeatedly on the uncertainty of time of death, that we really get it now, even experientially, not just intellectually, but really subjectively and through deep experiences, where really we feel that, I mean, we have this awareness of death and dying to the extent that we think, okay, I really don't know when it's going to hit me, even today. Okay, so when we are at that deep experience level, then the next thing we really consider, the basic principle is, what will stand by us, you know, at death?
Well, that deal is in the such as somebody, Chiwi says, and then Chiwi Matopa, Yin Kangata, Mapimpachita, somewhere.
So when we consider what can stand by us at death, then the third basic principle says, accept Dharma or spirituality, nothing else can stand by us at that time.
Ran chivit se ta juno longshe chimbo yenaya te pen togu yo amare ane garo chongshe mangbo yenaya te pen togu yo amare ta tunzu kan pakanje ta jitin ji shewe ta le kante ki ina te gal chivit kapsu ane ran ta pen togu mebe ki ta hako yung gori ta gomna.
So when we consider this third basic principle, what can help us at death, then we come to realize that we could be very successful in our worldly achievements, that we have so much wealth and resources. Well, they're not going to be, you know, help us not to die. See, they are of no use at that time. Or we could be successful in cultivating friends and supporters, that we have so many loving and caring friends, family members and friends and so forth. But at death, they really couldn't help us, even if they very much want to. So all of these things, that worldly achievements, you know, they are of no much use, substantively speaking, at the time of death.
Chewe dula padu So gangge da de rang chwa de so gangge ga te me bi da sang tong geu.
So we have to consider the fact that when the death strikes us, it is very personal and intimate in that nobody can stop it, you know, at that point of time.
Are da de ne ne su ji kyeon degeun do. Nyeoma ani da jebo ji jeumul ani da nanjo be ji ge da hago geul. Jeora ani jeora imi the mega thing is here is she said is me and me thing in trash is there is and those in that na job that no she to zin to se so mai mer
two model
la
kya bodak let me tell you a story to illustrate this point once you know there was a king and a queen and a meditator or yogi and the yogi was able to see that the queen will die of fire, due to some fire destruction or due to some fire that her life would come to an end.
Yes. The target is something to move the end of Morang Bioset, she combat in the Chuichil Zuni, she combat Chuichil Zuni, and then those in the current Chuichil. Made the Tritani marriage, that's the same, those two children, Devim, sir. Two combat. Shake combat, that two children, shake combat with that dinner, Mora Denta, constitute the kayak, Jandal to seven.
So the yogi honestly told the queen that, you have to be very careful with, in some sense, you know, he said, your life will be ended by, he didn't say careful, will be ended by, some fire. It was fire will kill you. Well, then Queen thought, well, that's not, too much of a bad news. You know, I can just protect myself very well from fire. So what she did was, she asked to build a beautiful mansion of glasses, glass mansion right in the middle of water. So it's surrounded by water. And she made sure that there's nothing combustible in the mansion, anything to do with the fire. Okay, so she thought she would be totally safe. Well, that's such a safe place she created for herself.
That condition is any morang that to load into any the shego teacher. Yeah, she's a shego to machine, but those Yamatangs any you may then did it. That's when it's tarried the name Michelle for Michigan and it's a morang to lose the sign at that cover day member and tamarang shame.
She hung her, robes and, clothes on the glass wall. And so she felt very safe. She thought, okay, how could fire, get me? There's nothing to be burnt. There's nothing that is combustible in the mansion. And right in the middle of the water, it's surrounded by water. So she felt safe. But what happened was that the sunlight, sparked this, I think some of the glasses are the magnifying glass. So it started fire with her clothes and the robes, so which caught fire, and the whole mansion, was dismantled, and she died in that particular situation.
So that, mataba, chua mataba rangtolo yundi sani, thele ta chweni su kangta, kanto siya meba sanu tangsi, ta ti, ta shigu yores, tanga pa shigu, ta shiu tsena, te chua matu, ta yin ta kangke,
Well, with each of the basic principles, we have to consider many reasons to support the principle so that it makes sense not only intellectually but very experientially through repeated meditation. And then we come to really conclude that in the case of the first one, we said, okay, now the death is sure to come. In the case of the second principle, we say the time of death is truly uncertain. Really, I don't know when it's going to come. Nobody knows it. And then what can stand by us at the time of death, right? Nothing but Dharma. And so as this story I just told you, that shows that when the death comes, nothing can stop it. Nobody can stop, death.
No, that can be good. Tendeke tang nanking emeg sambati nyuwa chi tuni rangi shebe yina ane ta kane chagi meba chi ta ane ta digwa sayal ta zenja chimbushi ta chagi.
once we really truly feel it in our bones, that the time of death is uncertain, then I think it really will prevent, it becomes a powerful antidote, at least temporarily overcoming our attachment and clinging to the marvels of this lifetime, all the things of this life. And it will also prevent us from, indulging in, getting involved in negative karmic actions.
Ani chawa mataba rang tolo yundu sa ani kapsa du yusa ke nangka nundroi yusa yomari taka ni ri sum nundroi yomari dazu kjil tadi kasi tri dosa kan chani ta yusa nundroi chani yomari sa tani dosa kan nang yomari
In the Lamrim treatises, as we deal with death and impermanence of life, so many examples are given to make the point that when death strikes us, there is no place in samsara that we can hide and find ourselves safe. So then the Lamrim talks about how when the death strikes you, we cannot escape into some kind of outer space, maybe today in the cyberspace and stay safe there. No, it'll get us there. We cannot go, into some kind of under the ocean. Maybe we can ride a submarine and submerge into the ocean. No, that will get us there. We cannot hide behind the mountains and hills, because it gets us there. So there's no place literally where we can feel safe when the death strikes us.
So that the 当初你就结婚了但是没得不管你的东西管你的你要送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送个东西管你的你就送
impermanence of life is not just a scare tactic. It's not just to scare us or make our life more miserable, as if we have nothing better to do. You know, when we study and contemplate, you know, suffering nature of samsara, death and dying meditation, this is not because, you know, we have nothing better to do, so we make ourselves, you know, down in more misery, you know, make ourselves miserable and get freaked out like anything. That's not the point. The point is that usually we really don't pay enough attention to these matters and issues, that we really are, I should remain unaware of the situation we find ourselves in. So it's like life goes on, like, you know, as if everything is okay. But when we think about and meditate on death and impermanence of life, for example, when it really, I should say, motivates us from within inside us, then we really get scared. That's true. But that sense of fear can be utilized in a very positive way to get out of misery and samsara. And often, you know, we don't like to hear about negative things, which we consider, okay, talking too much about suffering, that's really so pessimistic and negative. I don't like it, you know. Talking about death and the impermanence of life, well, I don't like it. That's very pessimistic and, you know, it's very discomforting. So we just want to be left alone in some sense so that, you know, we just talk about nice stuff, what we consider as nice things to listen to. But then the fact of the matter is, as we avoid, we become very avoidant of these matters, but that's sure to come, see? And so once we find ourselves in the suffering situations, now we realize, oh my gosh, you see, this is too much. I wish I knew before so that I didn't have to come into this situation. Now what can I do? Well, it's late now. So that's why it's much better to educate ourselves on these matters and take the matters, as you would say, in our hand, so that we know how to deal with these things, so that, as we say, prevention is better than cure, so that we don't have to go into unfortunate state of rebirth where suffering is very intense. So now you see the context and the purpose of talking about and meditating on suffering nature of samsara, death and dying, impermanence of life, and so on.
No, that the result that yang tambah je ngene tone pe sesule that rayung garis.
But if we really deal with this matter now, then you know we could expect better outcomes, you see. As Geshe-la says, we get a better result. You know, that's what we want.
No, no, that didn't take us in. Then I do any choice in him. Let them learn, because you tell that, what is your grace?
I think that will do for today, and so, you know, we began with pure motivation, and now we dedicate, you know, we need to, how to say, conclude our session and practice with pure dedication.
Well, nice. Then I so any link with any turning church in the beginning is all that any, and it's Sanji September, but it's a unit in Nepata. Joy in the Betribe, Tinsy Shiba Taman is a good Jabet Tempata. Tuji into the memory to do your show. And eh, Chu Dunkey show Pomonumchi, Fundi Shavana, he's some Eastern turn. I'm Rubeta Gachim ever, Eastern turn Druva show. And eh, you think you come dead like Yendo, Minty because what are the Kinney Tinchin is the memory to do your show.
Whatever merit we have gained from participating in the teaching today, we dedicate it for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe, and for the long existence of Dharma in the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy beings, wherever they are in any part of this world and any part of the universe, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations without obstacles. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Oh, yeah.
好了，点起来。
老师，
太油啊！
老师，
太油。